Hello, welcome to the High Performance CEO Podcast, your exclusive access to the winning strategies and leadership habits of high performing CEOs from all over the world. I'm your host, Sebastian Schieke, entrepreneur, CEO mentor, and business angel. Sit back, relax, and don't forget to take notes, because I'm sure you will be able to take many gold nuggets on how to drive your business forward and develop a healthy and thriving work culture for your organization. Welcome to another episode of the High Performance CEO. Today, I'm talking to Albert Weil. Albert is from Pittsburgh, and he is an international award-winning author, speaker, entrepreneur, and most of all, cybersecurity architect. And today, we will talk a lot about cybersecurity, about what is going on in industry. He's the founder of IT Security Solutions, where he's providing enterprises with cybersecurity solutions. So, welcome to the show, Albert.
Well, thank you very much, Sebastian. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's really great to talk to someone who's so experienced in this world of cybersecurity, and especially nowadays where we are facing this war. Part of the war, there's, of course, a cyber war, you know? And I would say not many people really understand what is going on in the world of cybersecurity. I mean, we talked before the interview, and I have an IT background. I have a good understanding of technology. But if you would ask me what is happening in the world of cybersecurity and what is going on, I couldn't tell you, you know? So I'm really glad to talk to you today about this topic, Albert. So maybe before we start talking about your story, you just mentioned you were in a conference last night talking about cybersecurity topics. So can you give us a small explanation what is happening in this world and what is possible today? Not to scare the people off, but just to educate them.
Yeah, I mean, we spent a whole evening together with the Meeting Planners International Conference in Pittsburgh, Scary Stories Conference. And, you know, just to give you one thing, because I could talk all night about this. It's my passion. And helping people understand is part of what I do. And protecting them is the other part. But the one thing that I would talk about is, do you turn off your devices at night?
Most people don't.
But when we first started getting computers and we were going to the office and we were done working, we didn't leave them on.
No.
We turned them off. Especially when we got DSL connections. And that isn't even the ISP connection that we're most traditionally used to having today. You know, a fiber connection to your house is a luxury, right?
Yeah.
But having that device on 24 hours a day is like teasing the adversary, the attacker, to gain access to you. Because you're not really going to use that device at 2 o'clock in the morning, are you?
No. But we leave it open for him as a challenge to penetrate it and to do nasty things. Yeah.
Now you're picking up what I'm laying down. Yes,
yeah.
We've become a little more laissez-faire with our continuously connected devices. We never shut them off. We have to have them available, and we got to do everything in our life on them. And that's a problem. But that's a problem for another day and another story or one of my books, #hacked and #hacked2. Did you like that segue?
Awesome. Yeah. No, I mean, I highly can recommend. I mean, learned that you're a well-known author and speaker, and everyone who wants to learn more about this topic, definitely check Albert's publications. Can you tell us a bit, how did you got into cybersecurity? What is your journey? What has it been?
It started out in the sixth grade. I had an affinity to technology, kind of like you. I started out in IT, but in the sixth grade, I was programming the dates of Easter using a system that fit on a desk, which had all the functionality of your pocket calculator, or actually the calculator on your phone. And it was a stylus punch card device, and it ran on vacuum tubes.
Yeah. From there, you know, these cards, no? These punch cards.
Used with a stylus. You had to hand punch and hand code the language. So that was my first taste in computers. And it's just evolved over time. But before 9/11, I was building ISPs, internet service providers, in Western Pennsylvania and connecting them to the internet using Linux. And everybody said, you can't use Linux. You got to use Windows. Why aren't you using Microsoft and paying tens of thousands of dollars every year in subscription fees. And I said, because I don't have to.
Yeah.
And then 9/11 happened, and I got a knock on the door. They needed my help to vet the September 17th watch list. And I did that. And when that was done, I helped found the Pittsburgh InfraGuard Member Alliance. So that taught security to the national critical infrastructure. Mm. And it's a great program. And, you know, if you're available to get into the InfraGuard Member Alliance, I recommend it. But I couldn't make my bread and butter. I couldn't go to the grocery store with a smile and say, hey, I'm a volunteer. Because, you know, that doesn't buy much mileage. So I became a consultant, started traveling internationally, actually worked on government programs and saved the VA $1 million in 6 months, and then started traveling to Air Force bases, teaching them what is software security and why were the drones being hacked and Iran and Afghanistan hitting our drones and taking the technology out of the sky. From there came banks and other things. But today, we've built a product called ITSafe. And I talk about it on ITS-safe.com. And we're also having an investment opportunity for this new technology, which blocks attackers inside that other technologies are not seeing. Because we're focused mainly on tomorrow's events. But what happened yesterday? How about last week? Maybe even last year? Or what was built in to the products that you're using? You can't see back doors, right?
No.
It's kind of like COVID or cancer or cholesterol. You can't really see it. Like, you'd never know that at one time in my life, I had high cholesterol and then got rid of it because, well, I fixed it.
Yeah. It's so interesting. No? I mean, we trust so many application providers. We install so much software on our computers and our mobile phones and so on. And it's exactly what you say. I mean, you could get any kind of malware into your system. Yeah. And then after a while, starting attacks and using your computer as a host to attack other systems. No?
Yes.
And this product, is it for enterprise primarily, or is it for private usage?
It's for business. We're targeting businesses at least $5 million in revenue a year and larger. We're also targeting government systems and, you know, military applications because we see a need to block the adversary that's already inside. We do plan on having a next generation tool for consumers, but that is sometime down the line. We're still ramping up for our initial release for AI-based cybersecurity protection. We're calling it It's Safe because you can't tell if you're safe without it. We detect the threats that others don't.
This is very helpful. I mean, when I see on the industry, there are more and more companies being attacked. For example, there all the data is encrypted and they can only get it back when they pay this high ransom fee to the attackers, you know?
See, that's the misnomer. They're not getting it back. They may be given access to their data, but the attackers still keep the data.
Yeah.
And then they sell it on the dark web. So what did you gain? That's zero gain. And matter of fact, it might be a minus 1 million gain because your data's gone. If they're inside, they own you.
They own you. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and we saw it wasn't a software attack, but in the last few weeks, the German railway system had been attacked. They basically cut two lines, you know, they cut two fiber lines.
Fiber lines.
Yes. And
how many days was it without service?
Well, it was only half a day. Yeah, they really figured it out quite soon. And it was only the north of Germany. But hey, I mean, this is so dangerous.
We're so vulnerable and so used to technology.
Yeah.
Do you remember a time before Google when people actually had to think?
Well, I actually do. I mean, I grew up without the internet. Yeah.
So did I.
Yeah,
but so our kids haven't.
It's always funny when I talk to my kids and they say, hey, Dad, when you grew up, what did you do the whole day? You didn't have the internet. Well, I was going out, you know, playing with other kids, talking to them, you know. I even had books where I learned languages. I had a big dictionary when I was learning English in school and I had to check out all the words and write it on a piece of paper. I mean, yep. They don't know. They press one button and then they use translation software and it's done, you know?
Right. So and the art conversation for our kids is gone.
Yeah. Everything is available. But so as you say, the risk is increasing that attackers will basically create a lot of damage. Yeah. And I think it's not only the technology which companies like you need to provide. It's also the education. Yeah. It's a mindset shift that, for example, we turn off our devices at night, that we don't install any kind of software in our systems, trusting that nothing will happen, you know?
Right.
So there's a lot of education needs to be done in this topic. And I think this is one of the reasons why you wrote these books and you are a speaker, right?
Absolutely. Because, you know, people don't understand the technology that they're using and what the technology is using them for as well. For instance, yeah. If you're not paying for a service, you're the product.
Yeah, exactly. Many people think, hey, everything is free on the internet. But hey, it's not, you know.
There's a cost associated with it. And you might not find it right this second, but they're benefiting big time off of you.
Exactly. There's no free lunch. So what do you cover in your book? Can you give us a small summary? People are interested.
In Hashtag Hack, that's my first book. I give 10 tips to help protect your personal and business information. All right. And they're separate for personal use and business use. But I also have a website for the book, thehackedbook.com, which gives a bonus section of additional information free to anyone, whether you got the book or not. You just give us your email address and you have access to our bonus tips. We cover a variety of things about what is cybersecurity, where has it evolved from, how did the internet get built, and what types of things can you do to help protect yourself as well as your business. And then in the very end, I talk a little more about ItSafe and how we help businesses protect themselves. So, you know, it's a comprehensive guide that gets people understanding a little more about cybersecurity without making their heads explode. Well, I put it down at a very low level so that they can understand that, you know, the deadbolt on your front door is great for people that are trusting. But the bad guys aren't going to use your front door to get in your house, right? Yeah. They're going to take the ladder from the backyard, go up to the second story bathroom window, which is always unlocked, and then crawl in that way. Or cut a hole in the sidewall of your house if you just have vinyl siding. It's real easy to compromise the integrity of a home, just like the integrity of your computer. But people can't see these attacks. And then as soon as I published that and won the Cyber Protection Award, I had people scrambling to me saying, I want to be in your next book. And that was in March. And we started writing the book in April or May. Just released Hashtag Hack 2 on October 4th and got the number one international bestseller award for it. But I wrote it with 12 additional cybersecurity professionals, all giving their own viewpoint on cybersecurity and how to offer additional support and protection. You know, our goal is to attract more people into this field. Damn. We're missing about 5 million, just 5 million people that can work in cybersecurity. And you don't have to have a lot of experience or a high education level. You don't have to have a college degree necessarily to get started in the field. Okay.
Okay. So there's such a high demand on cybersecurity experts, you say.
Yes, there is. I mean, and you got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. You're not going to come up with 30 years experience just by starting, but you're going to come up with a day.
Yeah.
And each day helps you to grow in understanding. And, you know, reading books like Hashtag Hacked or the series helps people understand more about, you know, what is compliance? What is security? How can I be better protected? What's the difference between proactive and reactive security and different things that people are doing on a daily basis? What works and what doesn't? Is insurance any good? Things like that.
Where do you see the biggest threats in cybersecurity? I mean, where should people or companies really look out for?
They should look internally. So a lot of testing's done on their inside network, but with the pandemic, everybody moved outside. They all started working from home, right?
Yes.
There's no protection in people's homes. Even the president of the organization, the CEO, the CFO, the CISO, work from an office environment in their home that doesn't have a security perimeter built around it. They're most vulnerable targets. Those and managed service providers, MSPs, they control the assets of multiple companies at a single time. So the adversary or attackers are going after these targets with great success to get inside of them, because when you're inside of one of these computers and they connect to their office, now you're inside of their office as well. And this is the problem that happened when we went to a work from home situation.
No one thought this through, you know, it was everyone rushed home basically. And okay, you got a notebook with a camera and internet connection, that's it.
It was kind of like a mandate. We're going to do this, yeah. Compel or high water. And high water came and so did hell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now we're getting attacked even more than ever before.
Okay. I mean, it seems to you picked a very important topic, and with your organization, you are raising money at the moment, right?
Yes, we are. We're in the middle of an equity crowdfunding campaign. Mm-hmm. Many people have heard of crowdfunding to buy a product and everything. Well, yeah. We're offering shares of stock in lieu of investment in the company. And that's what mm-hmm. equity crowdfunding is. So by going to its-safe.com, there's an investment opportunity at the menu bar. And it talks about what we're offering, what we're doing, and it has a link to Net Capital. Net Capital has registered our company with the Securities and Exchange Commission for any investor, you don't have to be a high value investor, to buy stock in our company. You can start with as little as $104, but you know, the growth of this industry, this is an opportunity that most people say, gee, if I'd have only bought stock in Apple when it was really small working in the garage, or how about Amazon or you know, Microsoft? And they say, I wish I'd have done that. This is their opportunity.
Well, everyone who's interested in really participating in this immense opportunity of growth, check this out. How do you see the future of cybersecurity? I mean, what do we have to expect, say, in 3 or 5 years' time? How do you see this developing?
That's a really good question. You know, I don't see cybersecurity as a light switch. I see it as a process, as a multitude of things that we need to do as organizations and people using the internet safely. Because the internet is not necessarily a safe environment. There are a lot of traps and targets that the attackers use against us to try to get into our systems. And the problem is we don't see those attacks based on our activities on the internet. It doesn't matter if you're downloading an image from a website or using social media, these attacks can occur from anywhere. What can we do? Well, the tools that we've been using certainly are not effective. I'd say firewalls and virus scanners are 4% effective. That is abysmal.
4%.
They do not detect the threats that are going on now or have already succeeded. Okay? And they can't, because essentially they'd have to monitor every single packet that goes through the network to get to their computer, and they're not doing that, all right? Mm-hmm. They're looking for a file that gets downloaded on your computer, and it might not necessarily be a file. There is such a thing such as fileless malware.
Mm-hmm.
And ransomware is just an opportunity waiting to happen. So if attackers are inside the environment, you need to get them out of there as quickly as possible. Like, if you came home from dinner with your wife or spouse or your girl, a significant other, and you found somebody sitting on your couch, eating your food, watching TV, you're not just going to close the door behind you and let them continue, would you? You have to eliminate the threat.
But the problem is we see this guy on the couch, but we don't see the problem in our computers. And
that is exactly correct. That's the point. Yeah.
But then we need companies like IT Security Solutions to help us identify the attacker and get rid of them. It was a brief conversation, but very, very insightful. Thank you so much, Albert. It's a topic I could talk to you for hours, but you have an investor meeting coming up now, so we have to finish here. If people want to reach out to you, you probably check you out on LinkedIn, right?
Absolutely. I'm available on LinkedIn. Send me a message. Connect with me on one of my websites, or thehackbook.com has a contact me page for the author. It's easy to reach me.
Thank you so much for your time today. We wish you all of success to work on this very important mission. Thank you, Albert.
Thank you, Sebastian.
Hey, this has been the High Performance CEO Podcast. Join us again next week for more winning strategies and leadership habits from high-performing CEOs worldwide. If you have any questions or feedback on today's episode or would like to be a guest on my show, email us at success@sebastianschicke.com. We would love to hear from you. I'm Sebastian Schicke. Thank you for listening.